The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 16, beginning at the 21st verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. And what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." And this is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning I'd like to speak to you from the Gospel reading. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to you on this Father's Day and Creation Sunday, we remember this beautiful creation, this beautiful home of this earth that you have created for us. So Lord, as we hear this word to us this morning from your Son, the Lord of creation, Jesus Christ, may it move us to fulfill more deeply and more greatly the commission you have given us to be stewards of the home that you have made for us and for all generations. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, the season of creation began when the ecumenical patriarch Demetrios I, the leader of the Orthodox Church, back in 1989, established a day of prayer for creation for Orthodox Christians everywhere. The World Council of Churches then took up this celebration and expanded it into the current form that we have today. This current pattern is celebrated by all the major mainline denominations worldwide, a Roman Catholic, Lutheran, Anglican, and Orthodox. And as you can tell, it's a recent addition to the liturgical calendar. It's important to mark the season of creation for three reasons. Firstly, because of the urgency of the climate and ecological crisis that we face, and the need for a bold prophetic response by the church. The second, because our gospel faith calls us to grow in faith as that we affirm that Christ loves, redeems, and sustains the whole of creation. And third, because the original call by God given to humanity, not only to Christians, was to be stewards of creation and care for it. In his book, Earth, Bill McKibben writes, "We've changed the planet, changed it in large and fundamental ways. Our old familiar globe is suddenly melting, drying, acidifying, flooding, and burning in ways that no human has ever seen." In the Anglican Theological Review of September 2021, Margaret Bullitt Jonas, in her article "Preaching When Life Depends on It, Climate Crisis and Gospel Hope," makes these alarming observations. Over the last 50 years, 60% of the planet's mammals, reptiles, amphibians, birds, and fish have been wiped out by human land development and habitat destruction. More than 1 million species are on the way to extinction. Oceans are acidifying and warming, and living fish are being displaced with dead plastic. Sea levels are rising, coral reefs dying, and ecosystems collapsing. Record-breaking and intensifying weather patterns are increasing deadly droughts, floods, storms, and heat. And food supply disruption due to weather events, water shortages, and unpredictable seasons will increase, leading to mass starvation events. Concerning Australia, on its website, the CSIRO says this: research has shown that most of the changes observed over recent decades will continue into the future. Projections suggest that for Australia, hot days will become more frequent and hotter, sea levels will rise, oceans will become more acidic, snow depths will decline, extreme rainfall events will become more intense, and seasonal average rainfall changes will vary across Australia. So, accepting the science around climate change and the facts that we have heard, disputable as they might be for some, representatives of a number of churches who support and promote the season of creation have set for this year the theme, Let Justice and Peace Flow. And this theme is taken from two scripture verses. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream, from Amos 5:24. And listen carefully, I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, from Isaiah 43:19. So with this very serious environmental crisis that surrounds us, and that will only get worse if we don't do something about it as humanity, and with these two Bible texts and this theme, let justice and peace flow, let's turn our attention to the gospel reading for today, to see what it might teach us as we face this crisis in the world today. Now, our text begins, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, if a text begins from that time on, it's important that we ask the question, well, what is that time? And the answer to that question is found in the verses preceding our text. They are the verses that we heard from the gospel reading last Sunday concerning Peter's confession of Jesus. Now, Jesus had asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And the disciples gave him various answers. And then he said to them, what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter gave his famous answer, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus then went on to tell Peter that it will be on that rock, that is, that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, that I will build my church. And from that confession of who Christ is, Matthew moves his gospel from focusing on the public ministry of Jesus to the impending suffering, death, and rising again of Jesus. So in this verse, what we learn is that to know Jesus as the Messiah, to be part of his church, is to live the life that he lives, the life of suffering, death, and resurrection. Without the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus the Christ, there will be no foundation, no rock upon which the church can be built, and there will be no keys given to the church by which the church can unlock the padlock of death and let people free to live in the fullness of life that Jesus came to give. Remember Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Life with a capital L is what Jesus is all about. Now, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Now, why did Peter rebuke Jesus? Well, it could be one of three reasons. Firstly, that Peter loved the Lord and he didn't want him to die. Secondly, that Peter feared what would happen to him if the Lord died. And thirdly, that Peter thought that if the Lord died, he might have to die also. Remember, late on the night Jesus was betrayed, Peter declared that he would die with Jesus. But when push came to shove, he denied him three times. While it could possibly be number one, I think maybe it's more number two, and especially number three, that is the right answer. You know, Jesus didn't feel any love expressed in the rebuke by Peter. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Remember when Peter made his confession about Jesus being the Christ, Jesus responded, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Now Jesus says to Peter in this next recorded interaction with him, "Get behind me, Satan." In seeking to prevent Jesus from going the way of suffering and death and rising, this cycle of life, Peter is seeking to prevent Jesus from living out his identity and mission as the Christ. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter is trying to be out front and to lead Jesus away from fulfilling the plans that God has for him. As such, Peter is doing Satan's work. After this, his confession of Jesus as the Christ, Jesus called Simon, son of Jonah, Peter, meaning rock. Now he calls him a stumbling block. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The rock becomes the stumbling block. Why? Because he did not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. You see, humanity seeks the life of self, of ease, of comfort, of life without death. But there is no Jesus life without death. The path to life for the followers of Jesus is through death. And this is why Jesus then said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." You know, if anyone was seen carrying a cross in New Testament times, it meant they were going to die. They were marked for death. This would be the only reason why you would carry a cross. You were going to die. This cross carrying is something that we undertake willingly. Jesus said, "If anyone would come after me." We're not forced into following Jesus, but if we decide to follow Jesus, we will have a cross to carry. Now, according to Charles Talbot in his commentary on Matthew, there are three different forms of cross-bearing. The first is to patiently endure the trials of everyday life. The second is non-violent resistance or subversion of the political order. And the third is a virtual synonym for denying oneself as far as dying to the orientation in life that makes the creator order that exists in independence from God one's ultimate value. Now, these three different parts of cross-bearing are all contained in what it means to carry your cross. But when Jesus says, follow me, he doesn't mean just follow him through death, to death, but rather to follow him through death to life. For this is the life cycle of Jesus, and therefore it's the life cycle of the disciple of Jesus. So as we think of climate change, how could this life cycle of the disciple of Jesus apply to us and to creation? Well, firstly, we need renewal of our relationship with creation so that we no longer see it in a human way as a commodity to be exploited, but in a godly way as our home to be cherished. After all, this planet was created by God to host life in all its fullness, the life that Jesus came to bring. Creation is the place of the incarnation where God became human. Therefore, there is an urgent need for us to recognize as church that creation and redemption are inseparably linked. Pope Benedict XVI said, "The Redeemer is the Creator, and if we do not proclaim God in his full grandeur as Creator and as Redeemer, we also diminish the value of the redemption." Creation refers to both God's magnificent, mysterious act of creating this majestic and beautiful planet and this universe out of nothing, and the continuing result of the act that we experience in the inexhaustible gift of creation all around us. We need to die to the old ways of seeing creation and redemption as two separate entities and rise to the new way of seeing them as being inseparably linked. We need to die to seeing the planet as a place to be exploited and rather come to see it as a place to be cherished, because this is where the God of the universe has chosen to make known his true self, and he did in the person of Jesus Christ. Secondly, as we come to cherish more deeply the earth, we will then want to die to our sins and to ways that harm the earth. We too can be a stumbling block like Peter and get caught up in the cycle of instant gratification and be blinded by the glittering light of worldly success and be encapsulated by an economic system that allows a small minority to indulge in hedonistic lifestyles while the majority struggle with stagnant wages and diminished earnings. And nearly 800 million of our planetary brothers and sisters go to bed hungry every night. Rampant consumerism is ravaging the planet and the people of this planet. As such, on this Creation Sunday, we're called to follow Christ with a simple lifestyle of care, restraint, and sacrifice that brings life to all. Let us seek to live lives that are marked by less waste and less unnecessary consumption, especially where the processes of production are toxic and unsustainable. Let us be mindful as we can about our habits and the economic decisions so that all can thrive, our fellow men and women, wherever they may be, and also our future generations to come. Let us seek to do all we can to leave a lighter environmental footprint on the earth in our homes and where we live by doing such things as recycling and picking up rubbish. The leader of the Orthodox Church today, the Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, has written, "Let us replace consumerism with sacrifice, greed with generosity, wastefulness with a spirit of sharing, and asceticism which entails learning to give and not merely to give up. It is a way of loving, of moving gradually away from what I want to what God's world needs. It is a liberation from fear, greed, and compulsion. And thirdly, as church, we must also be active in bringing life to the planet and all its people by seeking transformation of public policies that bring death to the planet and to many of its people. Economic policies that promote scandalous wealth for a privileged few and degrading conditions for many others must be transformed so that all may have life. Wealthy First Nations country that rape and pillage their own lands and the lands of third world countries for the sake of profit and the economy must be made accountable. The church must be prophetic in its cry to the world concerning ongoing exploration and expansion of fossil fuels. For as the world warms, it is mainly those people of poorer countries who suffer, particularly the poorer island peoples, as the ocean waters rise. And so to conclude, the gospel reading also speaks about our responsibility regarding the choices that we make to defend and promote life. The passage concludes with Jesus' affirmation, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." We will be rewarded according to what we have done. Scientists speak of the human-centered causes of the climate crisis. Creation care is about living life responsibly. The author of the book Planet Wise, Dare to Care for God's World, writes this: "Like all managers or stewards, we may be called by the owner to give an account of how we have used or abused what has been entrusted to our care. Those of us who live in Western societies have indeed been entrusted with much in terms of material wealth and natural resources. And we are answerable not just to the world's poor and to our fellow creatures, but to God for how we use and develop them." So on this Creation Sunday, let us embrace the cycle of life that Jesus offers to us in the gospel today, to confess our resistances to walking the path of radical discipleship, and to own up to our responsibilities for this planetary garden of life entrusted to our care, and especially to the most vulnerable in our midst. May we work to promote life, life in all its phases and all forms, and may we become co-carers with God of our beautiful planetary garden and of one another. Let the river of justice and peace flow through us for all creation. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, your life is not an easy life. It involves carrying a cross. It involves the cycle of death to life. O Lord, as we go back into this planetary garden, help us to be mindful day by day of the justice and peace needed for all creation. And let us, O God, die to those things which we must die to in order to rise to the life that you have planned for all creation and for all the people of this creation. So, Lord, bless us as we go, and let us indeed, O God, follow you in the cycle of death to life, as you went from death to life for us. Amen.